following program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption.
Today's broadcast is being simulcast in broken English.
Welcome to the show that we're doing right now.
What the hell are we doing on this show?
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
It jumped up a notch.
It did, didn't it?
Let's go.
What is this?
Giggity, 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 goo.
Who else but
the Q?
It's showtime. Gentlemen, gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Q. You're listening to the best pop culture, current events, and current affairs show east and west of that Mississippi River, hailing from the great city of St. Louis, Missouri, and worldwide at theqnow.com. Don't forget, we are sponsored by John Beal on our web hosting. That's right, John Beal for all your roofing needs in the St. Louis area. Evidently, the state of Missouri, where I live, is just full of people that are prejudiced towards gay people. We are joined today by Pierre Abernathy, a reputed, and I don't even know if I should say that word specifically, but professional wrestling contestant, member. Is that what you would say yourself?
We'll say competitor. There's not really a, what would you call it? We're not a secret club, so we would be competitors, I guess.
You are a reputed wrestling competitor then.
Right.
You are a wrestler, a professional wrestler.
Right.
And we welcome him to the show. It also looks like people are up in arms regarding Obama missing Nancy Reagan's funeral. We're going to talk a little bit about that. As I stated, my guest today is Pierre Abernathy. And Pierre, I met through Anarchy Wrestling.
Right.
I don't know if that's technically true.
No, I don't think. Because you knew Sam, right?
Yeah, I've known Sam for a little while. But I think I've met you guys independently before anything with, like, Anarchy. I think I met you maybe when it was still LWA.
Okay, yeah, probably. We've been Anarchy 4 years, and I think I met you more than 4 years ago. So, yep, we were still LWA.
Yeah, don't be scared of talking to that microphone. You got to project that voice. But yeah, there you go, man. You got to really get up on that microphone.
I'm not a yeller.
We're going to shove you right into that microphone. It's like going to be taking like a penis. Like, that could be weird. You don't want that, right?
No.
No, well, we don't want that at all.
We're not paying for gay porn today.
So, Anarchy Wrestling is the company that Pierre is a part of.
Yep.
And he's a wrestler with. And
no, I do not wrestle
for
Anarchy.
You do not wrestle at all?
Nope. I think we've been running 4 years, and I've wrestled on 2 Anarchy shows, and I won't wrestle on another one until I'm going to retire.
Really? So, what is there aside from what you, maybe to retire, maybe just to save your body a little bit, because I know you do a lot of traveling outside of Anarchy yourself.
Yeah.
And so, like, maybe it's to save your body a little bit.
When we were LWA, I ran those shows too, like the last 5 years, and I wrestled on those shows. And when we started Anarchy, I made a conscious decision that I wasn't going to wrestle on those shows because number one is too much work. You can't run a whole entire production and then also perform on it because there's not enough time in the day. So when we started Anarchy, I decided I wasn't going to wrestle on the shows. We had 2 instances that I had to, but I won't anymore.
How long have you been a wrestler?
You know, I was thinking about this the other day. I thought it was 10 years, but I think it was 10 years, 2 or 3 years ago. I think 12 years, but like the first 5 years I don't count because we didn't do any travel. So I always tell people that I've been a full-time traveling professional wrestler for, I think, 7
years. You don't count those 5?
Nope.
Why not? What's where's the downplay on that?
Because I don't know. The first 5 years of our career, all of us, we wrestled at LWA. GCW.
Yeah, you come up with a group of wrestlers, including Evan Jalistico, who was on our show just a few weeks ago.
Yep, him and Gary J are the only 2 surviving members of our training class. Well, I mean, I guess Adam Raw, but he was the trainer, so I don't really count him. He wasn't
fair
in
enough.
Our class. But there's
also
only
a past guest on the show.
Yeah, there's only 3 of us left out of that class.
And so 12 years. Yep. And where did you train specifically?
We actually trained in House Springs, Missouri in a diesel garage. And Adam Raw and Nick Tyson were the 2 guys that trained us.
And okay, all right. So I came up in professional wrestling here in the St. Louis area myself, you know, and I've worked with a lot of really top guys in the area. And so I kind of know certain individuals. Like, a lot of the people I were around were like a Cowboy Bob Orton, right, with like a Ron Powers, who's on WCW getting ready to take the title off the Renegade live on TV, right, for Nitro.
Philly Blunt.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Philly Blunt. Yep, he's been around for years. Who also used to go by Sabre, if I remember correctly.
I didn't know that.
You know, when you have that kind of lineage that you're around quite often, you kind of feel like, oh, okay, I'm getting trained by somebody, you know, who's been in these higher ranking situations, right? Now, at the time you guys get it, I don't know Adam Raw personally, mm-hmm, you know, and so like, he's not what I would consider someone who's on TV and doing a lot of traveling, even to the extent that you are today. And so, like, when you walk into that situation and it's a guy that's not necessarily a name value, who you might or might not know has enough wrestling training in his background to, like, train you, how do you process that? Like, is it just screw it, it doesn't matter? Or do you take that into account?
Well, here's the funny thing. Like, originally...
And that's not a knock on Adam Raw by any means.
The thing. Like, Adam Raw, even though, like, professional wrestling, he's never been on TV, he is a national taekwondo champion.
Right.
So,
I mean, he's
a legit combat guy. But anyway, when we walked into that training, we were walking out of a different situation. Like, Sam Lacey bought the ring, and he was going to start a company. And I don't even – XWA was going to be the name of that company. So I guess you could say he was our original trainer. But he trained us for a weekend, a three-day weekend, and then said, sorry, guys, I've taught you everything I know. And we were like, oh, boy, like, that can't be the way this works. So a dude I went to high school with knew Nick Tyson from his, like, real job. They worked at Kohl's as truck unloaders. From there, I met Nick Tyson. He worked out with us one day, and I was like, holy cow, this is way different from what we were doing. You know, can you please train us? And because this dude that is training us, I mean, what he meant well, but he didn't know what he was doing. And we knew, like, he had us jumping, like, 5 feet in the air to take a bump. And, like, it made no sense back then, and it shouldn't have. But we walked into that situation. We begged Nick Tyson to train us. He agreed. And then from there, Adam Raw jumped on with a guy named Jordan Taylor. He never was a wrestler, but him and Adam Raw wanted to start a company, which became LWA, and they figured they wanted, like, all new guys. They didn't want to book Philly Blunt or Shaft or, like, guys that worked at South Broadway in those days. Like, they just wanted all new characters, and the best way to do that was with us, because there were so many. It was like six guys in our training class, and they started the company with, like, their five friends and us six, and it was like a whole new roster of people coming on to the area. That's pretty much the beginning of it all.
Very interesting. And so from there, you've built the company to where it is today in Anarchy. You know, you just hosted an event with Chris Hero, who was here. You guys do a lot of big shows. And obviously, that must, you know, that's a whole different basket when it comes to this business, because you have the in-ring side, you have the business side. And yeah, you can mix those. And you were saying earlier, like, there's a tendency to not want to mix those because it becomes a daunting task. How prepared were you when you made that move to, like, start running the companies? Like, were you ready?
No. like,
did you have a general knowledge?
Well, like, as far as booking professional wrestling, like, I mean, I don't run all of Anarchy myself. Like,
sure,
there are partners and people who help do the business part. My part is I 100% book the talent and write the shows. And when I had to start doing that for LWA, I wasn't ready. Nick Tyson, who trained us, he was supposed to book the shows, but he couldn't do it. He didn't have no ideas. So I would actually, like, book the shows, give the shows to him. He would take them to their business meetings, and then he would lay out the show. And that's what we would do. And then when he quit wrestling the first time, you know, Adam Raw starts freaking out because, you know, the booker of the show just quit.
Yeah.
And I told him, I was like, well, you don't really have to worry, because I've been booking these shows now for like 2 years. And he couldn't believe it. And then that's when I started officially doing it. But I wasn't ready. I pretty much had no choice, or else the shows wouldn't have happened.
Interesting. Now, me personally, I've wanted to work with you guys for a long time. And I recently started working with you guys doing broadcast stuff. And I haven't even had a chance to hear any of the stuff I've done. I don't even know what it sounds like. I guess, is it on, you guys have, you guys sell your shows.
Yeah.
Via streaming, right?
Well, we streaming or on DVD at smartmarkvideo.com, and they ship all over the world. So yeah, like now we have commentary and all that, and we went through a lot of bumpy roads to get like our DVDs made, and finally they're out, and that's on smartmarkvideo.com.
And so like I wanted to work with you guys for a long time, but like for some reason we just couldn't connect.
Right.
I don't know what the issue was, and I even talked to Dan Walsh the one time, and I was like, "Hey Dan, you know, I'd like to work with these guys," and I'm bringing this up for a specific reason. You know, it came back to me that you guys said that you thought I didn't like you guys, and that I didn't, you know, I didn't want to be around that or something like that. And I just want to let you know that that's never been the case.
Right.
And I don't have a problem with anyone. You know what I'm saying? And I really appreciate the work I've been doing with LWA. I think you guys are not LWA with Anarchy. Well, I almost consider them the same, though. That's the problem.
I mean,
you know?
Pretty much were. We just changed a few things and changed the name.
But I really like what you guys do, and I appreciate being a part of that, you know, and thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of that. You know, you guys do a really good wrestling production, and what I love about Anarchy is the crowds.
Yeah.
I think your crowds are just so into it, man, like a really true, great, independent crowd that you don't get at a lot of other places.
No.
And so, like, how does that feel? Was that an easy build? Did that come in real quick, or...
Actually, yeah, like when we were LWA, I think the last two LWA shows, if I'm guessing right, I know the second to last one drew 38 people, and we had El Generico, who never worked in a Midwest independent, and Colt Cabana on that card, and we drew 38 people.
Wow.
And then the next show after that was in O'Fallon, and we drew, I think, like 45 people. And we used to run LWA every 2 weeks when we first started. We ran every 2 weeks, and by the time when at our peak, we were drawing 250 to 300 people every 2 weeks with absolutely no indie names, like nobody,
wow,
no one you would have ever heard of, just people who liked the product. And as the years went on, like those crowds just trickled and trickled down. So we figured we needed to change something. So that's when we made the move to Anarchy, and I think our first Anarchy show, I think we drew like 250 people, and we've had little dips up and down, but we've been pretty consistent since then.
Yeah, I mean, how many were at this last show? Do you know off the top of your head?
I don't know. Like at night two was down from night one, and I know we had like right around 200 people, but it was down a lot on night two.
So about 250
something like that
for the shows, and it's consistent. Like I've been on two shows working with you guys, and the first one, I think the crowd size was relatively close. I think the second one, night one of this last show, I think had a little bit larger crowd than the last show that I was on.
Right.
But for the most part, you know, the last time I think I was on night two, actually.
Yeah, we had the harebrained idea of running on Valentine's Day. So it wasn't, we were kind of fighting against that. And so we don't really do Sundays either, but we did both those things so that we could do these double shots, because we promised our fans, like, that's what we were going to do now, because they lived up to their end. We said we would run six times a year, and if you people come out, then we'll run more times a year. So they lived up to their end, so we are now running eight times a year.
There you go. Well, thank you for coming on the show.
Yep.
I appreciate it. You know, are you a political guy by any means? Do you talk politics ever? Do you get into, like, we're going to get into who Pierre Abernathy is tonight.
Great.
We are really going to go deep here.
Well, let's not hold any of my views against the company or the Submission Squad as a
That's
as
fair.
A brand.
That's fair. I think that's a fair assessment, you know, because, you know, everybody's got a little bit of a different kick to their politics, you know. Some people like it this way, some people like it that way, and that might not always jive with the other people around them.
Right.
I understand that. I respect that. We won't take you, you know, too deep, all right? I'll hold it back.
I have followed the president's stuff a little closer this time than I have in the past.
Who are you looking at right now? Like, who's
Oh, you know, I like that Donald Trump.
He's do you?
I think it's funny that, like, I think people took him as a joke, and now I guess the joke is on them, because this guy, I think, is going to win the nomination.
I have no myths about that. Like, I have just nothing to, you know, Donald Trump has completely impressed the hell out of me in regards to building a fan base strong enough nationally to where he is literally controlling the majority of every single primary. And it's to the point where, like, yeah, he's looking like the guy. So the question starts to become at that point when you kind of settle in into understanding that this is going to be the guy, the question at that point becomes, who's he going to pick to run with him? Like, where does that go? Do we go nuts? Do we do Sarah Palin? Do we like just literally just throw it down?
I'm hoping he puts Vince on the ticket.
Vince McMahon, that would be right. Actually, you know what? That would be interesting.
Might put Linda on that thing. She's devil. She's been in politics, yeah.
That would actually be a nice little move for a Linda McMahon to get a shot like that, even if she loses.
Right.
That really adds a little name value as a former, you know,
just being
chairman, and then, you know, turn around as a woman who gets to become vice presidential nominated.
Right.
You know, that's a pretty strong thing for you.
I think didn't she lose both times she ran, so it would just make sense for her to be on the ticket.
Well, hey, you know, the famous story of Abraham Lincoln is that he lost every election leading up to president of the United States. So he tried to be like a parks commissioner, a sub judge. He tried to be, I think, a mayor once or twice. He did get elected to Senate eventually, or Congress, one of the two. Then left that, lost the next election, which was for like a governor or lowership type thing. And then turns around, like, so he lost massive elections to like where you would think, okay, you're not consistent enough of like you went from here to here to here and then you made your jump. It's like he was up and down his whole career. He just ran for president of the United States because he just wanted to. And he won. So that happens, man. I mean, that really... Trump is going to be a very interesting pull for the United States as a president of the United States.
Yep. I just wonder if that shows, like, how weak we are now as far as, like, having people qualified maybe for that job. That a guy like him who had... I mean, he's successful in what he
does. But this is being determined by your fellow man. This is everyday people... there's lots of guys running right now, and they're dropping off like flies, including the former president's brother, Jeb Bush. He's running, and he had them stumping for him and everything. Like, I feel like I don't even know what to say at this point. Like, it's kind of crazy the way this whole situation has formed out.
Yep.
And I think that at the end of the day, you're going to have – they used to talk about these type of people running for politics. Remember the big placards, the bellowing, talking, like in the early 1910s, 20s, and 30s, you know, those time periods, they had those Tammany Hall kind of New York mobster style presidential candidates that would come out and bellow and stuff. And I don't think any of us realized what it was because we didn't have that for so long. We had a lot of Reagans and Clintons and astute gentlemen, you know, like Bush Sr., Gerald Ford. Like, these weren't guys that were like bellowing and pompous and jerky.
Right. It's almost like the storyline when Hulk Hogan ran for president, Nitro, except that it's actually going to happen with Donald Trump.
You think he wins the presidency? Do you think he beats Hillary? It'll probably be Hillary. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to gloss this. Yes, Bernie's doing well, and I like Bernie. And I think the best move in the world would be Hillary runs because that's what the delegates are going to do. And then she accepts Bernie as her vice. And I think that would really help solidify that base. Because they can't do that on the Republican side. They have too many players with too many small fan bases that they have to unite. And even though these two guys might go with Trump, this guy, like Ted Cruz, he's going to hold out. He's going to be like, no, my people aren't going to vote for Trump. I don't want that. And they do have that kind of power to literally go to their base and say, don't do this. Don't vote for that man.
I don't see Trump winning. I don't see it happening. I think Hillary is going to win.
Which means we're just going to be inundated with conservatives with, first off, don't tread on me flags. Let's not forget your yellow snaky flags, okay, guys? That you got to hang off of all your houses and your trucks. Random hangings of the Confederate flag, just because it's historical, and it's just about heritage.
Right.
It's just about heritage, okay?
Tracy Smothers still wears the Confederate
flag. It is just about heritage. Guys, this is one of those situations where, like, if you guys are nuts, you Republicans are crazy, and you literally just, you can't help yourselves. You can't, you got the girl who just killed herself, or she got shot by her, I'm sorry, she got shot by her four-year-old son, Jamie Gilt. She is a kind of well-known social media, Second Amendment guns right activist, very pretty girl with her son who's 4 years old, and very much this, I'm really well trained, America should, you know, Obama's going to take your guns, be trained, be vigilant, I'm tactical, you know. But it really comes down to she's just a really pretty girl. And there's a certain section of Republicans and conservatives who just like to see pretty girls that kind of have their viewpoints.
Right.
So that's where she really gets her fan base, in my opinion. But yeah, she's in the car with her son the other day. He grabs one of the guns that had the lock off of it. She pointed. She got it pointed at her and shot.
Jesus.
By her four-year-old son.
She
and
did.
So that's my point. Like, I thought you were really well-trained. Your son is really well-trained. Everybody around you, like, it's where was the good guy with the gun?
Yeah, like, I don't know. My whole view on it is, I mean, where I grew up, if they wanted to get guns, they were going to get guns.
Where'd you grow up?
North St. Louis.
What part?
Baden.
All right.
Like Walnut Park area.
That's where my parents are from, is that area.
So if they wanted, if those dudes wanted to get guns, they were going to get guns, and didn't matter if it was legal or not. So
where'd you go to high school? The famous St. Louis question.
Well, by the time I was in ninth grade, I was living in Fenton off of Mount Everest Shangri-La, which turned into also being a not-so-good place. But I went to Fox High School.
Okay, that's cool. What year did you graduate?
Dear Lord. 2001. Because
that's a while ago, bro.
I missed a year where I just skipped a whole bunch of days, so I think I was supposed to graduate in 2000, but it was 2001.
Just a last word about Trump, that situation right there. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't – there's no way for me to stop the primaries from happening and him getting the delegates to become nomination. Okay?
Yeah, that's gonna happen.
Can't stop the nomination because that base of people, although I have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that listen to this show every week, there is a section of them that – do prescribe to the conservative mentality because they just like to hear what comes out of my mouth. They're, it's that Howard Stern effect. They want to hear what I say next. I can definitely tell you guys that if he does win and gets into the general election for the main event, you don't do that to your country. I'm not saying that there have even been worse presidents. And I'm not saying that he would be a bad president. And I'm not saying that I think that everything around him just screams can't. What I'm saying is that there are things that he has said and flags he has kind of risen in my head, red flags that have popped up, based off of the way he acts. And I get it. I'm a controversial, edgy kind of person who says what's on his mind. I have that dog that bites quality. I kind of know who he is as a person. And I respect that. I understand it because it's what's made me successful here. It's also what's made him successful outside of the presidency of the United States. But I also understand that you can't just take that en masse to the people because everybody sets themselves at different levels. And what is cool for one person, even though they might be on the same mentality ideal as you, is not cool for you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Even though you technically agree on all the parts of whatever abortion or, you know, guns rights or, you know, marriage equality and all that stuff. And so, like, we've got to protect that integrity, and we are not going to do it with the conservatives at this point. I'm sorry. Now, at least not with this card.
Yeah, I don't think you should be able to main event a WrestleMania and run for president.
That's a good point. Was it a main event? Was that that was Lashley, right? Lashley, was that main event? I don't remember.
It wasn't like the last match, but it was heavily promoted.
He's had a long, long relationship. And by the way, we're talking a little professional wrestling, and we're going to talk about this Hulk Hogan thing.
Oh, man.
Do you want to get into that Hulk Hogan thing real quick?
Which one?
Well, let's jump on that real quick here. I've got, here it is. Penis size is in the news again, Mr. Abernathy. Yeah. But at least this time it has nothing to do with the presidential debate. Hulk Hogan sued Gawker.com for $100 million after they published clips from a video of him sleeping with his friend's wife. The friend had actually offered his wife to Hogan, so there was no cheating going on. But Hogan didn't know he was being filmed. He didn't even know the tape existed until someone started trying to leak it to the media. So Hogan has been on the stand for the last few days, and yesterday Gawker's lawyer tried to make the case that since Hogan has boasted himself and his sexual exploits in interviews, he has no right to privacy in this case. The attorney brought up one interview where Hogan bragged about the size of his third python. and Hogan had to admit under oath, quote, "I do not have a 10-inch penis. I do not, seriously. Terry Bollea's penis is not 10 inches. That's his real name." The lawyer replied, quote, "So you were discussing Hulk Hogan's penis?" And Hogan said, "Yeah, because Terry Bollea doesn't have a 10-inch penis." This is out of control, Pierre. And the reason this is out of control, ladies and gentlemen, is because Hulk Hogan, now, I don't know if this was a plan by him and his lawyer. I don't know if this is just something, this is just kind of the way it formulated based off those questions. But Hulk Hogan is basically stating that Hulk Hogan is not like a moniker nickname. It's a completely separate human being and individual that he knows of who has a 10-inch penis, but it's not him. It wasn't his penis that actually went inside that girl over and over. That was Hulk Hogan's penis. He's Terry Bollea. And Terry Bollea does not have a 10-inch penis. That's nuts. There's no separation of Hulk Hogan and Terry Bollea. They are the same person. Basically, Hulk Hogan is a nickname. You just are Terry Bollea. You call yourself Hulk Hogan and you point at the sky and raise your pythons. We get it. We understand. You're not two people, though. Like, I think that sounds crazy. Pierre, please. I mean, am I nuts here?
Well, number one, I just think it's sad. I mean, that poor Hulk Hogan has got to go through all this. Like, when you grow up and, like, you're a kid and you watch Sesame Street, you sure. don't one day say, "I'm going to know how big Big Bird's penis is." Well, like, that's Hulk Hogan for me. I idolized Hogan as a kid, and now I have to know that this man don't have a 10-inch penis.
And that's wrong. That's just wrong. Like, you really wanted to know that, right?
Yeah.
In fact, Pierre hit me up before we got on the air, and he was like, "Listen, can we talk about Terry's 10-inch penis?" Well, Terry doesn't have a 10-inch penis.
Well, the Hulkster.
The Hulkster's 10-inch penis, and I was like, I guess we can.
But he needs to be. Like, I agree. It is like Terry Bollea and Hogan aren't the same guy, and you have to, like, he is playing.
Are you really seriously going to try to argue
that they are
separate people?
Well, not like separate physical beings.
No, they're separate physical beings because that's the only way he's going to be able to pull this off. That argument won't go away any other way.
He has to make you believe, though, that Hulk Hogan
is Hogan a good enough worker and magician to make you believe that Terry Bollea, his real God-given name, is a completely separate person than Hulk Hogan.
I don't know. He's been
physically
taking money from people for years.
Wouldn't it be hilarious though if he like if it would be? Ladies and gentlemen, please follow along with me. They have him dress as Hulk Hogan in the old yellow and red, right? Come out, rip the shirt off, check his penis size. It's 10 inches, right? But then they have him go take a shower and just become Terry Bollea, recheck his penis size, only 7. That would be hilarious if that was the case.
As long as Mean Gene's up there with him.
Do we get the Fink?
Promo.
Does the Fink get to call it?
No, I don't think so.
Do we get a play-by-play from JR?
It would be a backstage vignette, like Mean Gene set up on the stand and Hogan takes his penis out. That's the way they'd need to do that, I guess.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on The Q, and when we come back, more with our friend Pierre Abernathy, as well as some of the stuff with Nancy Reagan, a couple of rants I want to get into. We will be back on The Q after this.
It was a perfect day for the end of May, they say, a record high.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q. Of course, Mark Bland joined today by a special individual by the name of Pierre Abernathy. How are you, sir?
Doing
well?
Yep.
And we've been talking about Trump and politics and all kinds of great... Hulk Hogan's penis size. The Hulkster is now burned into the mind of our friend Pierre for the rest of his life.
Yep. I'm not a... the politics stuff, I wouldn't say I'm an expert on, but Hogan's penis, I'm an expert.
Well, don't worry. We also have the well-known hot seat coming up where we're going to ask Pierre 5 questions. He had no idea what these 5 questions are going to be. He's just going to answer off the top of his head. That's coming up here in a little bit. But I'm going to skip your funeral to eat barbecue tacos. Obama thought to himself while this photo was taken, which is a photo of him and Nancy Reagan. Obama does not give a crap anymore, according to the White House briefing, and certainly does not care about Nancy Reagan's funeral. Instead, NBC News reports he'll be headed to Texas for the annual horror confluence of indie music and startup culture known as South by Southwest. I cannot think of anything more insulting than someone skipping my funeral to go to South by Southwest. I don't expect anyone to attend my funeral, but I would hope for a better excuse than I am spending a week or so in Austin, going to eat some barbecue, and maybe check out a four-square party tent. And yet that's Obama's plan, as Nancy Reagan is set to be on to the great beyond. And really, what does that say about Nancy Reagan? Having attended, I can say with complete certainty that I would rather go to a generic funeral than make a third trip to South by Southwest, but I would rather go to this specific funeral for the astrology-obsessed wife of a historically bad president. Hard to say. I would probably choose neither and just stay home under the covers, but Barack Obama isn't worried about appearances. Obama will skip the funeral of someone who faithfully nursed and counseled a guy he probably despised, and yes, he will let it be known to the world that he'll be partying with Chingy instead. That's a note from a local publication, or not local, but like a publication on the internet, basically berating our friend Barack Obama for the fact that he's not going to go to Nancy Reagan's funeral. Now, the former first lady has passed away this past week. And, of course, Barack Obama is, set to be at the South by Southwest Music Festival for a speech on said day of the funeral. Well, this has been a hitch point for conservatives and politicos alike. They are just going out of their minds complaining about the fact that he just isn't a good president. He doesn't love this country. Look what he's doing to Nancy Reagan. Look what he did to Antonin Scalia at his funeral. This guy is just a piece of horrible crap. And I'm bringing this up here for a specific reason. How do you feel about Barack Obama going or not going to Nancy Reagan's funeral?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think she would really care. I mean, when you're dead, I don't think you care who's at your funeral. But then I can see the other side. It's a president's wife. He's the president. Kind of like a respect thing. So I don't know. I can see both sides. But, I mean, Obama, I like Obama. Obama's a thug. Plays basketball, barbecue, chicken.
Yeah. He is a thug. He gets it in.
I like Obama.
You like Obama. And there's nothing wrong with that, because I like Obama too, because it's not because I think he's the most amazing president that's ever lived. I like Obama because he really hasn't done anything to screw up, and all he has is a bunch of people who like to draw lines in the sand constantly, just begging you to step over it in any form or fashion so that they can have an inundation of anger beset upon you.
Right.
Because that's just who they are as people. And that's all that Obama's had to deal with since the day he's walked into the office. It's people drawing lines in the sand against him just because he's Barack Obama, not for anything real. And he's not the first president to not go. I'm sorry. Let me rewind here. Ronald Reagan, the president of the United States, whose wife we are talking about, he didn't go to Lady Bird Johnson's funeral. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And I could be incorrect on that. It might not have been Lady Bird Johnson, but it was one of the first ladies who passed away, and he did not go to their funeral. And so my point is simply this: if it's okay for other presidents to have a life as a president, please let it be okay for Barack Obama to have a life as a president. It's all right. He's earned the right to be the president of the United States. He does the things that he does specifically for specific reasons. It's not because he hates Nancy Reagan. But believe me, he wasn't happy to hear about the passing of Nancy Reagan. I don't think anybody's ever happy to hear about the death of someone, even if it's somebody you hate. It kind of catches you off guard. And, you know, you might not be like, rah-rah, sis, but mom, you might not be like, oh, that's super sad. But at the same point, like, I've never seen anybody just go, this is awesome. I can't believe it's great. Do you know anyone like that? Anybody who's ever done that?
No.
Cheered the death of a human being on?
Not seriously.
I mean other than like the lions killing them in the Colosseum back in the day and people cheering that on.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's actually ever happy when someone dies, and I don't think Obama's happy that she died.
Right.
People are just going to say what they're going to say depending on what side of the fence they sit on.
So anyway, my point being very simply this, ladies and gentlemen, just instead of being so angry at Barack Obama all the time, let's talk to these people. Can you help me talk to these people for a minute? Instead of being angry, let's channel that emotion, right? Let's channel it over to your keyboard and type in theqnow.com. Every single time you feel like you need to get on the keyboard and start typing something mean about Barack Obama, right? Or hateful, right? What I want you to do is I want you to start typing theqnow.com, right? Give me a click. That's going to be more beneficial. It's going to help people. It's going to drive positivity as opposed to the crap that you want to do, which just makes me and Matt sad.
Yeah, it's So people are very short-minded nowadays, and
yeah, they are.
Anger is the first place everybody goes now. Nobody, you know, no one thinks anything out. That's why there's so much stuff that happens.
You've been paying attention to WrestleMania, the build-up to WrestleMania at all?
Yeah, I'm actually going to WrestleMania for the first time.
You're going this year to WrestleMania?
Yeah.
That's crazy, dude. That's awesome. And WrestleMania is in Dallas this year.
Yep.
You flying down? You driving down?
No, we're caravanning down.
You're going to caravan down, go to the show, maybe throw a couple shows in on the side?
I think we have one while we're down there. But mostly we just decided a few years ago that if Mania ever went to Texas, because we know so many people there, that we would go because it's, you know, cheaper. You don't got to do the hotel. We know people down there. So when they came to Dallas, we were like, we're going to this WrestleMania.
What are you looking forward to?
I'm just the experience. Like, I'm sure the matches will be fine. I'm just looking forward to being in that atmosphere.
Do you want to see Shane O'Mac versus The Undertaker?
Sure. I mean, I know that, like, Gary will be really happy to see The Undertaker. So, regardless of what I think, like, there will be other people. Like, people are really selfish when they watch pro wrestling. Like, they just think about what they would like and not about what maybe the other
person would like. Yeah, because I'm not a big Kane fan, but I have a lot of people who have, like, chastised me for how much they like Kane.
A friend of mine, Kane was his favorite wrestler. Now, granted, he knew nothing about the indies and now was in federal prison. He loved Kane.
Well, that's really cool that you're going to be going down there and stuff like that. Are you in any other sports? Do you have any other hobbies or anything that you do, personally?
I watch all sports.
Is that like your hobby of sports or is... Do you have, like, a hobby? Like, when we had Evan on, he was talking about his Legos. Like, Legos are a big thing for him.
No, I'm a full-grown man.
Fair enough.
No, I watch... Sports is pretty much my hobby. Like, when I'm not wrestling or riding wrestling or contacting wrestlers to perform on wrestling, I'm watching sports.
What's your favorite sport outside of wrestling?
Basketball.
By far, basketball? Yeah. Pro basketball? College basketball?
Pro basketball. It used to be baseball. Because
I'm a college guy.
Yeah, see, I followed college 2 years ago when Parker and Wiggins and Gordon and Exum and all those guys, well, not Exum, but, you know, Moutier and all of them. I watched it then. This year, I haven't really been paying much attention to it. So it's pro basketball for me.
And that's fair. I'm a huge college guy. It's just something that I've always – well, I played college basketball. So I think that's kind of where I felt – I was in love with it before that, though. But I had a really good experience growing up when basketball finally inundated my life. The college storylines were actually better than anything that was going on in the pros. You know, at the late 80s, early 90s, you have – Jordan still trying to get up to where he's going to get three championships, you know? So there wasn't a lot of big name, like on the NBA side, Isaiah Thomas, the Pistons, obviously Magic Johnson and the Lakers. That was a big deal, you know, those guys. And that's what you heard the most about. And Jordan and the Bulls were slowly starting to make a name for themselves. On the college side, it was great. You had the blue rain from the Duke Blue Devils, you know what I'm saying? Back-to-back national championships. You had Jerry Tarkanian and the Running Rebels at UNLV and Grandma Ma. Larry Johnson, you had a lot of great storylines, and even like past that, like Michigan, the Fab Five, and then, you know, into like Arkansas and the 40 Minutes of Hell. Like you had like really cool storylines. So I was always captured by that more than the pros.
Well, March Madness is always fun to follow. I'll follow that every year.
Are you in a pool? Do you do the pool thing? You never do the pool thing?
No, but I remember one final. I don't know what round it was in, but it was when Missouri played UCLA.
Tyus Edney.
Yep. I remember that shot still.
That was like 01, 02, 03, somewhere.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah. I think it was like 01, 02, or 03, somewhere around there. It could have been late 90s, too, possibly.
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't remember specifically. But yeah, dude, I'm a. I do also. I don't mind NBA basketball. I like NBA. Who's your favorite team?
See, I don't have a team because I grew up St. Louis, so we haven't had a team.
You don't feel like a little bit of a kinship to the Chicago Bulls?
No, I have players, and like obviously LeBron, someone I followed since he was at St. Vincent St. Mary, so I followed him. So when he came into the league, I was like, well, I hope he does well. So I guess I'll root for the Cavaliers, and then
pound for pound, he's got to be the best player that's ever played the game. I mean, regardless of. Like, I feel like he's everything Jordan was, but just larger.
Well, he's he's the best athlete that's ever played the game. I would say he's probably, I don't know, top five all time. But, I mean, he's no Michael Jordan. But
you don't think he's Michael Jordan? Like, no. I mean, I feel like on a one-on-one game in their primes, I think LeBron gets him. I really do. No, I believe that. I think the reach gets him.
I think.
Because he's got the same speed and he's got the same technical defensive ability.
Yeah, but he can't. LeBron James isn't a clutch player, so I believe
he doesn't have to be a clutch player. He's just got to out rebound Michael Jordan in a one on one game.
I believe he will maybe be up on Jordan, and then Jordan would take
over. You're crazy. You really think that Michael Jordan? I mean, don't leave it. I'm not going to knock Michael Jordan. Definitely, definitely, top two players in the history of the entire sport ever. Okay, and people will argue that top to bottom. You know what I'm saying? There are people like the what's his name? Not Oscar Robertson. The one with the 100-point game.
Oh, Bill Russell?
No, was it Bill Russell?
Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah, they'll argue Wilt Chamberlain versus Michael Jordan. Like, and there's an argument there. There really is an argument there because
Wilt Chamberlain's 7'2", so I guess it's, if a mismatch, if LeBron took Jordan in the post for all 10 points in a 10-point game, he might have a chance. But then that would almost be like saying that Shaq is better than LeBron because in a one-on-one game, Shaq would destroy LeBron because he's in their primes because he's 300 pounds and would just dominate him in the post. So it just depends.
I can't believe you actually chose Michael Jordan over LeBron James. I think it's just clearly obvious that, like, yeah, you might not get six championships, but a lot more goes into those six championships than just Michael Jordan being really the best. Like, he had a really strong team around him, and it stayed pretty consistent. Even when it was the two different lineups,
right,
it stayed consistent, you know? So that's my point. You know, LeBron hasn't had that consistency other than in Miami.
Yeah, he had it for all 4 years of Miami, and he'd still have it in Miami, but he went back to Cleveland, which I actually like to see. I'm a huge LeBron fan. Like, LeBron's my favorite player in the league right now.
But you got Jordan over him.
Yeah, I'm not.
Jordan over Kobe?
Yeah, there's not a basketball player in the world. Like, if I'm starting a team, Michael Jordan never went to a game 7 of any finals he ever played in because he didn't let it get that far. They won in 6, and he's 6-0, 6 finals MVPs. I'm not picking anyone over him.
But only in their prime. Like, I mean, LeBron right now.
Yeah,
you'd
right
probably
now,
take
well,
LeBron.
Like, maybe. I don't
but
know.
But you're saying Jordan, in their prime. Like in their prime.
Yeah, Jordan might beat him now. I mean,
no. Pierre Abernathy thinks that Michael Jordan would get beat by LeBron James right now. Or he would beat LeBron James right now?
No, he wouldn't.
Oh, LeBron. My God. I was going to say, there's... Oh.
But then would LeBron beat Steph Curry right now?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I think he would. The only problem is that Steph really does have a long-range three.
Yeah.
That, like, LeBron might be like, I don't need to come out that far. That's about it. Other than that, like, I think, yeah, he gets them.
Okay, and if he did in one-on-one, but...
Because Steph's not... I mean, Steph's lights out for the most part with his threes, but it's not like in a one-on-one game he's going to hit every single shot he takes.
Right. He'll win the championship this year, though. So
yeah, that team's really tough, yeah. And that's great. Back-to-back champions. I was actually asked a question the other day. What is the only sport professionally in the United States to never have a three-peat championship?
NHL?
No.
No?
Incorrect.
MLB?
Nope. Incorrect again.
Man. Is it three-peat, you said, or back-to-back?
Mm-hmm. Three-peat.
I bet the Yankees do it in the MLB. Was that them?
Yes, the Yankees definitely do it.
I should have seen that coming. I don't know.
Canadians in hockey, they did it for like 12 years in a row.
Right.
Like, that's a nuts situation right there. It's NFL has never had a three-peat champion.
Makes sense.
And so that was a really interesting question because it makes you think, you know, like immediately with MLB, Yankees kind of pop into your mind because you know they have so many. Hockey's a little harder unless you kind of know the history of hockey. You might not realize in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. Like 79% of the NHL championships the Canadians played in or won.
Wow.
Which is impressive. Well, oh, yeah. Dude, it's like a 30-year period, and they have like 22.
Jeez.
Like in a 30-year period. It's nuts. It's ridiculous.
Well,
the 40s alone is like 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47. In 48 and lost, 49, 50, 51, lost one. You know, like it's just ridiculous how much they were in the finals.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's time for us to do the hot seat with our friend Pierre Abernathy.
All righty.
Pierre, the hot seat for anybody out there who doesn't know what it is, I asked Pierre 5 questions. He has no idea what those 5 questions are going to be. He answers them to the best of his abilities. They are not hard questions. Evangelistico did it.
Oh,
Gary J. eventually will do it when he comes on the show. A lot of great people have done it outside of yourself. And I think that you're going to enjoy these questions. But this is basically based off the fact I used to do like advice columns, you know, I find like the Dear Abby type stuff.
Okay.
And I would read it live on the show and I just give my own personal opinion. I would never read what they said, you know. And people started liking it. So they started writing into me on theqnow.com. Go to the contact us button and you can hit me up anytime. It comes straight to my email. Basically, they started hitting me up with their own personal sexual issues. This it was crazy stuff that they would hit me up with. And basically, off of that right there, I don't know where that was going. It doesn't make any sense anymore. I'm just lost.
Let's get into it.
Let's get into the hot seat.
All right.
What's the scariest real thing that you know exists on our planet? In your mind, like when you think of something that you're just like, I know that freaks me out, just thinking or knowing it exists, and it's legit. Like you have proof.
Pure evil probably scares me more than anything else.
Pure evil?
Right. I've seen it.
You've seen it. You've seen pure evil.
Yeah, I think so.
Can you give me an example of how you saw pure? Did you see an exorcism or something? No,
I mean, like what you see happen in everyday life. Like I watched today on the news where a nurse, a nurse killed like 12 infant children and like is like the first, was one of the first like serial killers of her kind. If that exists in the world, that scares me. Anybody that could do that, to think you could maybe meet that person someday, that scares me.
Interesting. Very interesting. All right, question number two. What TV show that you are a fan of has the strongest first episode?
Oh, man.
And you got a lot of shows I'm sure you're a fan of.
Yeah, well, so, my favorite show of all time is The Office. But
You wouldn't say that, huh?
No, okay. I actually say you got to get through the first season, which I think is only 8 episodes, to really start to appreciate The Office.
Oh, The Office is... What is your favorite Office episode?
Oh, man. I would say the one where the beginning scene is Dwight setting the fire for the fire.
Yeah, the cat.
Yeah.
That's my favorite one, too. That's what I was just getting ready to say. I love that.
Yep.
That is fantastic. But strongest first episode on a TV show.
No. I'll say for me, for the shows I've watched, Shameless. It comes on Showtime.
Is that the... I don't want to give anything away.
Yeah.
In case somebody hasn't seen Shameless.
Yeah, I would say that has a strong first episode for shows I watch.
I would say for me, Sons of Anarchy.
Watched that.
Sons of Anarchy is a fantastic show. You don't even have to like bikers or biker culture or anything like that to understand. It's kind of based on Macbeth mixed with a little Othello, a couple of other little meanderings of tiny bit of Romeo and Juliet kind of mixed in there. It's kind of a nice mix of Shakespeare on TV. It's really great and it's acted well. Mm. So if you get a chance, you should check it out.
Yeah, that and Breaking Bad are like the two biggest shows that I've never watched.
Breaking Bad was cool. Yeah. It had a couple nice swerves. You watch Game of Thrones? It's getting ready to come back.
No, that's another one. No, my dad does, but he always tells me to watch it, and I have not.
Dude, you've got to see Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones is fantastic. You'll really enjoy it, especially when you get through the first season. You'll be like, okay, now I see where this is going, and I kind of understand. I like it a lot. Question number three. If you went back mentally, what was the dumbest trend you got suckered into? Like when you were growing up, some trend that became popular that you just really got into yourself, and then now you look back on it, you're like, what a cheese ball crap thing that was.
Yeah, I bleached my hair blonde. Like,
during
the whole like
M&M days.
Yeah. But yet, like back in those
days,
how'd that
work out for you?
I mean, everybody in the neighborhood was doing it, so it wasn't like
just like a team of M&Ms walking down the street all the time.
That's what in the neighborhood. That's what
were you rocking the big long white T-shirt?
No,
in the jeans,
just bleached hair. So I guess I would say that is probably the dumbest thing because everybody was doing that. But yet I'd have dark skin because I'd be outside all the time and being part Indian, like I tan real well and have like white hot hair. Just it did not come off well.
Interesting. What's the coolest thing you ever did that no one saw and you wish they had? Something that had just happened out of the complete blue, you didn't realize it was going to happen, and you were like, that was awesome, I'm awesome. I just wish somebody would have videotaped or seen that.
I don't think I've ever done a damn thing like that.
Not even pulled off a wrestling move.
Hope people would see it. did a live show.
Well, yeah, I guess you'd have to have someone with you.
I've worked some shows. Like me and Gary had a pretty okay match at UWA, and I don't think anyone was there to see that. So yeah, okay, I'll say that.
All right.
Me and Gary against each other in Dupo, Illinois. That was amazing. I remember stretching out in the ring that day, looking over at somebody else who was on the show, and I asked, what time does the show start? And they said, 2 o'clock. And I looked at my cell phone, and it was 2:30, and there was not a soul in sight.
Really?
And I think a car, like a family van, pulled up that had 6 people in it, and that was the crowd.
So you worked anyway?
Yeah. Back then, we did that stuff all the time.
Would you do that today?
No.
You wouldn't work that show? You just tell the promoter? Well, would you ask for your money? Or
I would
want
my money first, and then I would perform on the show. But not if I wasn't going to get paid, I wouldn't do it.
All right, last question here on the hot seat, Kenny Kynes hot seat, which I should have mentioned earlier in the show. I got to talking about the letters from the listeners that I get sometimes. I do have a letter from a listener. Maybe we can do that a little overtime or something like that.
All righty.
What movie emotionally destroyed you?
Oh, man, there's a lot of them.
Like, the first time you saw it, like, just really broke you down. And you're like, oh, man, that kind of effed me up.
Marley and Me was a big one.
Oh, my God. Can I tell you my Marley and Me story in a minute?
Yep. Rescue Me, there's one there, too. Evan got me into that show. And I ain't going to give it away, but then one of the seasons, something happens, and that got me, too. And that bothered me for days afterwards.
Yeah, Sons of Anarchy did the same thing to me in season 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a moment that it kind of really caught me off guard. Or season 4 or 6, I can't remember. My Marley and Me story is great. That's the one with Owen Wilson, the dog, right?
Yep.
Okay. Christmas Day, the year it comes out, me and my wife decided, because she saw it, and the way that the trailers presented it was like as this kind of a fun dog movie, with the dog that's going to create a lot of havoc and chaos. And my wife wanted to see it. She liked Owen Wilson. And is it Rachel from Friends?
Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston. And so, like, we go there, and there's tons of families with their kids, 10 years old, moms and dads. And the place is packed. It's Christmas Day. It's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Christmas Day. And by the time that movie was over, half that theater is walking out with tears in their eyes, crying. Like, I don't want to give it away to anyone. And I'm sure you can assume where things might go in a dog movie.
Right.
But, that was our Christmas Day that year. And it was tough, man. It was a tough one to watch.
We all went to see 40-Year-Old Virgin in the theater. And we got the pleasure of sitting behind these elderly women who thought that it was a documentary about a man who was a virgin in his 40s. They didn't know what it was. And to watch
really a documentary.
But to watch their reactions to that movie was awesome.
One of the best moments of all time, huh?
Yeah, it was good.
All right. I guess there's one last thing I want to talk about before we get out of here on the show. 4 signs that you should hire somebody to do your taxes. You know we have taxes coming up.
Yep.
You got to pay taxes. Taxes suck.
Yep.
Nobody's a fan of taxes, even though it keeps our roads relatively smooth.
Sure.
So we can drive to Austin and parts of Texas to do wrestling.
No, you got to pay dumb tolls driving down to Texas. Which
really?
I do not understand. Like, there's a toll going from here to Philadelphia that's like $28.
Really?
To drive on the road. And I don't see to where their roads are any different than like Missouri where there are no tolls. I don't.
Right. Fair enough. Are you a you are a taxpayer, I would assume.
Yeah, sometimes.
Well, you got about a month left to do your taxes, so you should do them yourself or go somewhere like H&R Block or have someone else handle it. Well, here are 4 things to think about, Matt.
All right.
I mean, Pierre.
Well, my taxes, it'll be Matt.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that.
Well, that's why I brought it
Unless
up.
Unless I want to go to prison for stealing someone's identity.
Exactly. If the answer is yes for any of them, you might want to just pay to have them done, okay? If you answer no to all of these, you can probably save some money and just do them yourself. So let's see if you would need to go have someone. Do you have someone do your taxes for you already?
Well, I go to TurboTax. I mean,
that's what I do too.
Yeah,
so I think most people do.
That's it.
All right. Is your household income more than $200,000 a year?
Making off pro wrestling, no. $200,000 a year, no.
If so, you're more than likely to get audited. So go to a professional because most people don't know how to handle their taxes. The highest end. Number 2.
All right.
Are you self-employed, freelancing, or a business owner?
Yeah, both of those things.
Doing your own taxes can be a little trickier if that's the case.
Right.
Number 3. Did you make money on investments last year?
Nope. I invested in myself, and I believe I've lost money.
Fair enough. That usually means the stock market. If you made a lot of money on stocks, go see someone. And the same goes if you inherited a bunch of money also. Number 4. Did you have a major life event last year, like getting married, starting college, having a baby?
Nope, same as every year.
Are you married?
No.
Not married? Girlfriend?
No. Yeah.
How long have you guys been? How does she deal with the travel schedule?
Oh, she don't care.
She doesn't give a care?
Don't hear from her half the time.
Oh, that's nice. That's a nice kind of girlfriend. Well, if you did, then hiring someone to do your taxes might save you money because they'll make sure you get deductions that you can. So
that would be good.
Yeah, everybody loves a good deduction. It's about time for us to get out of here on the show. But before we go, I want to make sure that everybody knows we're going to do a little overtime. I'm going to do a letter from a listener there. Talk to Matt or Pierre.
Yeah.
Tax season. You got to legitimize it. You know what I'm saying?
It's funny, though. I go down to Texas all the time for wrestling. And I was in San Antonio the same weekend that Pierre Abernathy, a person that lived in San Antonio, was killed by the police.
Really?
And, like,
you were actually there when it happened.
Like, well, not that when he was killed, but I performed in San Antonio that same night. So when it was popping up that Pierre Abernathy was, like, shot dead, there were, like, fans that thought maybe that was me that went to that wrestling show.
That's so crazy.
So I was getting, like, Facebook messages and stuff. And, yeah, I was there the same night, so that was kind of weird.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Well, ladies and gentlemen, first I want to thank Pierre Abernathy for being our guest on the show today.
Oh, thank
you. We are going to be doing some overtime, like I said, but appreciate it. Where can people find you on social media?
I am at Facebook and Twitter under Pierre Abernathy. Rather than friend me, I would rather you like the St. Louis Anarchy Facebook page or follow STL Anarchy on Twitter. Because, I mean, that's really where our passion is sunk into. So I would get, if you want to follow me, great. But for sure, like St. Louis Anarchy or follow them at STL Anarchy.
All right, fair enough. Also, I want to make sure you guys check out John Beal Roofing, our web host every single week. CliffCentral.com is the website you go to Thursdays, 3 p.m. South Africa time, about 7 or 8 o'clock. We just had Spring Forward. And so it's one of those things where, like, you know, it's 8 a.m. Central Standard Time here in the United States. CliffCentral.com every single Thursday for that, as well as on STL, STLVernacular.com. And you guys can follow me on Twitter at Mark Bland, at The Q Now. That's going to do it for us for here on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, Pierre Abernathy, Mark Bland. We will see you guys next time on The Q.
Yeah, you know what we is. Sometimes you gotta stay in. Welcome to my house, baby, take control now. We can't even slow down. We don't have to go a while. Welcome to my house, play the music too loud.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q. Of course, Mark Bland, Pierre Abernathy, Overtime, and we're talking off the air about movies. Specifically superhero movies. And I remember in a passing conversation with Evan Jalistico when he was on the show, well, what do we have here?
I was just going to get close to the action.
Well, if you're going to get close to the action, ladies and gentlemen, Evan Jalistico is here. Say hello, Evan.
Hello. I mean, if you're going to talk about superhero movies, of course I'm going to be.
I don't know much about these.
He just has a Pikachu.
All right. So Evan Jalistico joined our friend Pierre Abernathy. And so we were talking off the air a little bit about superhero movies. And Evan, he's not a fan of certain superhero movies. We're going to let him, we'll talk about that in a second here. But he said that you have a unique take on the Ninja Turtles movie. And then you were like, oh, yeah, that and something else. So why don't you break down live on the show here for us the amazing theory or thought process of the Turtles that evidently has a few detractors?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm glad to finally get into this.
Okay, let's do it. Let's take the gloves off, Pierre. Let's really let them have it.
So I have my theory that these turtles, they're prostitutes. That's my...
What?
Yeah, they are.
They're male prostitutes or other animals?
I mean, they're turtle prostitutes.
Yeah, they're turtle prostitutes.
Okay.
And Splinter's their pimp.
Splinter, you know what?
And now he pays them in the pizza. The pizza is like what he takes. Like, he'll take his cut of the pizza.
And maybe like in the new movie when they're talking about, oh, we don't want to go to the such and such room when they came back late the one night.
Yeah.
You know, and they were afraid to go to the such and such. Maybe that's the sadomasochistic dungeon where he teaches them new tips
itself.
And tricks.
And they have the reporter trying to uncover the brothel.
Uh-huh.
Woman, what's her name?
April O'Neil. Yes.
Yeah, she's not a prostitute.
Megan
it's just
Fox.
Them. It is just the turtles that are prostitutes. Splinter's their pimp.
Speaking of great movies like Transformers 1. It's a great movie. Go ahead.
Yeah. Paid in pizza, and that's it. And then Davey Vega gets really mad.
Why does Davey Vega get so mad about this?
Because he has no sense of humor.
He's a salty guy.
Well, he does have a sense of humor, but he gets mad, and that's not what the movie is really about. And he has the Ghostbusters piece on his arm.
Right.
And
do you have a theory about Ghostbusters that he does it? Oh, my God. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know if I can even say
it. Let's go down this road. Well, no.
He can't. He really can't.
But here's the problem, Evan.
It's real bad.
Evan, we have a problem, though. We have a real problem here. Sir, you were on my show. We specifically talked about Ghostbusters and the Ecto-1 Lego car. I feel like we must continue this trilogy of discussions about Ghostbusters in some form or fashion. This episode will focus on the theory of Ghostbusters. Busters.
I just hope you have that sensor button ready.
I am ready. The sensor button is ready to go. Abernathy. Let's hear this Ghostbusters theory.
All right, so the Ghostbusters.
Davey Vega, pay attention.
They're all Vega. What were they? They're all homosexuals.
Well,
right?
And not so nice of words. Yeah.
No. Don't cover your mouth. Talk to the microphone.
And not so nice of words. Yes. This is the theory.
They
yeah.
are homosexuals.
Who is the lead homosexual?
I don't even know all their names. Okay. I just know they're gay. And what was it? What were the ghosts? I don't even remember.
Is it Venkman? Is it maybe Venkman and Winston the black guy? Kind of together.
Well, the ghosts somehow are semen.
Okay,
and that's what they're out trying to catch.
They are the semen, and then they get it on their face, and it's the attempt of the semen to bring it back into them.
They suck it up in that hose,
right?
And then you can imagine what they would do with that. And Vega gets really mad.
I don't understand why he gets so mad. Do you think that it hits on a nerve specifically? Maybe
that it's not what the movie's really about, and he gets mad.
Not where I was going. I thought maybe it was more personal.
Vega's all man. He's all man.
Let that be known.
Fair
enough.
We cannot have this aired. people think Vega's not on the.
He's good. No, he's
all man.
It was a question. Listen.
All man.
It was a solid question, and you answered it properly. We're good to go.
Right.
We're good to go. So everybody's fine. So the Ghostbusters are gay.
Yeah.
How do we explain the hearse, the Ecto-1, the car?
That's just what they travel in. Gay people that drive anything.
They have plenty of room in the back to do their stuff.
It's more the tubes and what they suck the semen in.
Exactly. I thought it was more of like a box on the ground that would suck them in.
Right. I don't know much about the Ghostbusters.
He's never actually even seen Ghostbusters.
You know, I have too. I've seen them.
God, you know.
And they're not really gay. I feel like we need to let Vegas right. I don't think they're really gay. I don't know.
What if Bill Murray came on the show and he's like, yeah, these guys were all homosexuals. I was the
lead.
It
would prove my theory right.
It would break Vegas.
And it would, yeah, we would be having a funeral for Davey Vega.
Well, that's very interesting. Poor Davey Vega. Evangelistico, you are not a fan of comic book movies, per se.
I guess.
You are a fan of them.
Yeah.
You're even more a fan when one actually lives up to your expectations, evidently.
There's a lot
that don't.
Yes.
What, in your opinion... And Pierre, please jump in at any time.
Oh, yeah.
I want to hear.
Expert.
Yeah, I might have a theme.
No. I want to hear opinions because I might have my own opinions on this.
Oh, yeah.
What's the worst comic book movie you've ever seen?
Let me see if I can guess it, what he'll say.
Let's see. You see if you can figure it out.
It'll be Spider-Man.
Which one?
Not the Tobey Maguire one, or was it whatever one he cries a lot in? That's the one he don't like.
All right, Evan,
it's hard.
It's not the Tobey Maguire one. The one after the Tobey Maguire one, you hated
the new one. The one with
Garfield.
Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
You really hate that.
Well, I can. Only
I thought
say
it
that, I can only
felt
say
more authentic.
I can only say that because I never saw the Fantastic.
He's already said that he will just destroy everything. He's beating me up verbally on the show.
Okay. I will rape you financially.
This is horrible.
Let me get my spot.
Okay, do your spot. What is wrong with Andrew Garfield in the Spider-Man movie?
Just like everything.
You didn't like the lizard being more authentic?
No.
I thought the Sandman was an okay character. I don't know.
He wasn't in it. Shut up. He was in one of the other ones.
Oh, okay. I guess.
Seriously.
I wouldn't know who he is.
Matt's been on probably an hour.
Wait, no, I thought the Sandman was on the one with the lizard.
No, he was the Tobey Maguire one. Sandman, the lizard was a standalone.
Yeah.
Lizard was standalone. All right, so there's five Spider-Man movies, right?
Yes,
there
I think
are five
so.
Spider-Man.
We're going to bulletin point these.
Okay, here we go.
Because he's heard me go off on the one movie for at least an hour.
Okay. Yeah.
So, right, there's the Maguire series.
Yes.
Right? Spider-Man 1 is just Green Goblin. Spider-Man 2 is Doc Ock. Spider-Man 3 is Venom, Sandman, New Green Goblin.
I've seen
okay.
that one.
That's the end of the Maguire series. Then there's the
Garfield. Which I hated
series.
The third one. I hated the Venom one.
Yeah, it just had a lot of issues. They shouldn't have tried to cram it. But anyway.
Also, the way I saw it kind of broke it down. I watched it on IMAX sitting with it wrapped around the screen. So the action's quite fast, and you got to do this a lot. So it's kind of a disjointed movie for me.
Are you talking or am I talking? Who's talking here?
Jesus Christ, Evangelistico, please go ahead.
Jesus. Okay, and then there's the two. There's the Amazing Spider-Man series, which is Andrew Garfield.
Okay.
And in the first one, it's a standalone with Lizard. Second one is Electro and Green Goblin.
And I don't think I've seen all the Electro. That's with Jamie Foxx?
Correct.
Okay, I've only seen half of that movie.
I didn't even know he was in a
Spider-Man.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx is in it. He's not good. Which kind of blew everybody's mind. So which one is the worst? It's the one with the Lizard.
All right, I'll break them down for you from worst to best.
Okay.
Or do you want best to worst?
You choose.
Let's do worst to best.
Okay.
Worst, Amazing Spider-Man 1.
Yeah.
Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Hates that one.
Spider-Man 3. Spider-Man 1. Best of Spider-Man 2 versus Doc Ock.
The best is the Spider-Man 2 with Doc Ock.
Yeah.
Why is that one? Because I thought that one had cheesy pieces.
It did, but that's the point of Spider-Man. Like,
all right.
Like, nothing infuriates me more than like an origin story that. If you want to do your own take on an origin story, that's fantastic. Like, the dude did the...
Like some fan fiction stuff.
Yeah. The dude did the Fantastic Four origin story, and it was garbage. It was trash. So you take a risk. So, like, if you've got the source material, why are you such a cunt that you're like, fuck these people, fuck the so many years this comic has been running, I'm smarter than all of them. Spider-Man really came around. Fuck you, fuck what you know. You know what I mean? And for comic book companies that actually own it, that's fine. You want to do alt? Yeah, see, he doesn't care.
No, he's fine.
In his mind, he's like,
I just don't know how this conversation always ends when we're in the car with Gary yelling, why don't you just go to the movie to enjoy it? Like, you always come across it as, you just don't even give it
why
a chance.
Why don't you just go to the movie to enjoy it?
I do go to the movie and enjoy
because
it.
Because that's how I think I get the most enjoyment out of it is the fact that I don't know comic books, right? So everything's a new story to me. So I don't find anything wrong. What's your favorite comic book movie?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
I think we talked about that a little bit on the last show. Okay. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
But did you know a lot about that before you saw it? So that helped.
Yeah. Well, I knew of Guardians. I had never actually read it. And I also told myself I would watch one trailer for it, and that was it. Then it was media blackout. And that's what
that's right. That's right.
And
I remember you talking about that.
But like some things I know about and things I care about, like the Spider-Man movies have good points. But overall, they lose the feel of Spider-Man because it's this guy putting his spin on it, that guy putting his spin on it.
They're not true to the character.
Thanks. All right, let me ask you a more important question then.
Absolutely.
What is your second favorite comic book movie of all time?
That's going to be really tough because Captain America...
See,
Winter
I thought
Soldier was good, but also
Winter Soldier was great.
I really liked Deadpool that just came out because it was really it wasn't perfect, but it was a really fun, true to character movie.
I think my favorite, Pierre. What's your favorite?
I like The Dark Knight.
Okay,
I enjoyed Heath
Ledger's.
That's
a solid pull.
I like Heath Ledger's portrayal as Joker.
Mm-hmm.
But
I thought he was
anytime I go
Joker.
To see a movie, going to see Batman vs Superman, I've called him in advance. I'm like, are you going to even like this, or is this going to be one that you're going to hate? No, I'm not going to like this. So I know going into Suicide Squad, I'm looking forward to that, but you already said you're not going to like it.
I think Suicide Squad looks unique. I think it kind of goes down that fan fiction aspect. You're looking, it might not be like the true type origin story.
No, like, here's the thing. Like, I won't like Superman versus Batman because I don't like the Superman they have. The Superman they have isn't a Superman. It's some dude that has the same powers. Like, Superman is the All-American Boy Scout, yeah?
Right, sure.
So... In the movie, how many people does he save?
I'm not sure, but he destroys a lot of cities.
How many people does he try to save?
In the which movie?
In the movie. In The Man of Steel, the last one.
I don't remember specifically.
Like two, maybe. Lois
okay,
Lane
sure.
and someone else.
Sure.
That's not Superman. Superman goes out of his way to not throw a punch, instead fucking super speed and try and save people or hold buildings. Maybe he takes a couple hits because he's trying to save people. Like he's
that's
not.
That's the old Superman.
Yeah, that's the Superman I like.
That's the black and white TV Superman.
Yeah. But like, here's the thing though. Like, I'm not some cunt who's gonna be like, "Well, you don't like what I like, so fuck you." No,
right.
You like it, cool. That's the beginning and the end of the conversation. If you ask why I don't like it, you're in for an hour long sit down and a point by point PowerPoint system. But like Suicide Squad, I think it's gonna be fun. I worry.
Like I was pleasantly surprised by Ant-Man.
No, yeah, I thought Ant-Man was a really fun movie. I really liked it.
Just caught me off guard because I didn't know anything about Ant-Man. I walked into it thinking, okay, this could either be real slow. Like, Captain America 1, in my opinion, in my personal opinion, and a lot of people probably disagree with me, I think it's the worst comic book superhero movie that I've ever seen. Now, my favorite is Iron Man, the first Iron Man. Yeah. I love the first Iron Man. But I like a cheeky character like a...
like an Iron Man?
Well, like Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Like that character. I like somebody who's a little mouthy. Deadpool probably would be something appealing to me. Mm-hmm. I don't like a quiet guy, and I didn't like the way they formulated out the order. Like, I thought the movie dragged too much.
Okay.
It really dragged too much. Winter Soldier, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Completely blew me away. I was like, I didn't know nothing about this, and this is awesome.
I'm excited for Avengers 2 that's coming out soon.
Now, that would be...
Civil War.
Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And where does that lead us? Like, does that lead us towards a certain...
No idea. That's what's so exciting.
Well, the books, though. Where do they lead to the books?
Oh, it's not based on the books.
It's not based on the books at all?
Like, the name is. And, like, the sides kind of are. But, like, it's its own thing. You know what I mean?
Pierre Abernathy, if you could take the gay homo Ghostbusters and put them into a comic book movie, which one would you put them into?
I'd put them in the gay homo Iron Man, I guess.
There you go. Fair enough.
He's got a suit that's basically like a condom. Yeah,
were you not an Iron Man fan?
I watched him. I mean, I don't know. Like, I understand where, like, someone like Evan comes from, because, like, there are things about pro wrestling that I'm... And there, with him, too, he has, like, multiple things, where with me, it's mostly pro wrestling, to where I get so mad because you can't... You take away from, like, the essence of these characters and do something that makes complete no sense, and then...
You brought up pro wrestling. What's your favorite pro wrestling match of all time?
Oh, boy.
Prepare yours, Evan.
So it goes to multiple levels. The best indie match I can remember seeing, I have two. We were wrestling at the time, but we were watching it more as fans, was the first ever Dragon Gate 6-man tag that Ring of Honor did.
Chicago Ridge.
We used to go to Chicago and watch them, and we were just blown away by it. So, like, on an indie level, there was that. And then just not long ago, Gary, when he debuted for Evolve, Roderick Strong and Zack Sabre Jr. were on that card. That's one of the best matches I've ever seen live.
What about the big dogs?
Yeah.
What about you? What about your nostalgia? Let's kick it into overtime a little bit.
Michael's Taker 1, I really enjoyed.
See, I enjoyed part number 2.
Part 2 is what made that match. But, like, I felt like 2 was... They just did a lot of what they did in 1, but it had that added...
I think that the whole... White versus black, dark versus good, good to evil, all that. You know, I think that kind of threw me off on that first match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like the second one where it's just more authentic. Taker's going to be Taker. Michael's going to dress as Michaels, and they're going to do their thing. You know, I just felt more natural to the styles of those characters, whereas the first one looked like they tried to create a theme.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it kind of took me out of the Michaels character a little bit.
Flair Michaels, too, ranks up
that
there.
That actually would be mine.
That's Flair like Michaels emotion. Yeah. Like, that match would make
mine
me feel real emotion.
Mine is actually Angle's Michael Mania.
Okay.
Angle's Michael Mania. Yeah. I really enjoyed that match because it kind of gave you the feel of, I could watch this for 20 more minutes. Like, we could turn this into an Iron Man match. If these guys could keep up at this pace, this style, for, like, you know, 20 more minutes, turn this into an Iron Man match.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm down. Totally down for that.
All these matches have had Shawn Michaels in them.
Well, I was also going to say, Jack Triple H at Royal Rumble was a good match.
It just depends on what you get. Pro wrestling, to me, is just something you get emotionally invested into. Gary... One of the first things that we ever talked about is he cried after Hogan versus Kevin Nash when Nash lost his career, because at that age he cared so much about Kevin Nash that he became emotionally involved.
You know, Kevin Nash did a tope to King. Oh, God.
Kevin Nash doing arm drag in TNA. I love Kevin Nash. That's like the guy. I want to meet that guy.
Why don't you bring him in?
No, I ain't paying to bring in Kevin Nash, but I want to meet that guy on someone else's show that they're paying to bring him in.
What's the worst match? Big dogs. That you ever, just the one that it was just
that Jackie Gata Trish Stratus match on Raw where they completely botched that finish.
I was not a big fan of a Alex Wright Disco Inferno match.
Oh, there's a lot of WCW.
I said the big dogs. I didn't like say it had to be the E.
Where the big boys play.
Where the big boys play, Evan.
That was pro wrestling.
Oh, man.
God, they had good matches, but there were a lot of stinkers.
Hey, made Gary cry, like you
That's
said.
True.
I mean, so
that happened at Starrcade.
Worst match on the big boys, WCW style. Three count versus
Young Dragons. Those are bad. The Judy Bagwell on a pole.
I met Juventud Guerrero outside of the MGM Grand Garden after a Nitro in 1997. In fact, it's the match, it's the Nitro where Kevin Nash wrestles Mysterio for the first time and throws him against the truck over and over outside. That was in Vegas. I was at that Nitro that night. It was the first time I ever went to a Monday Nitro. And I got to meet Macho Man. At the restaurant we went to the Converse All-Star Cafe, got to meet him and his families. They were coming in. He was really cool.
What did he order from you?
He didn't order nothing from me. just happened to be the same place me and my family went.
Oh, okay.
And then
liar.
Got to meet Juventud Guerrero, and a little bit of a jerk outside. They were trying to get into their cars to go away.
Okay.
But they all did the valet. It wasn't like they went into the underground of like the arenas like they usually do, where it's kind of private and then they drive off on their own.
Yeah.
No, most of them valeted right there at the valet. So they're all standing out there. Yeah. Conan was standing there too. So it's just one of those things. It was just a unique set. But it was just kind of an awkward introduction meeting. I was a lot younger, 21 years old, meeting guys for the first time. So,
well, it's like I always feel like you can catch anybody on a bad day, but no matter how bad your day is, you can always say hi back.
Right. You should be at least a kind individual.
Like if somebody's like, hey, how you doing? Like, oh, good, thanks. And they're like, oh, here's a fucking poster in your face.
Right.
Yeah.
And once the poster comes to your face, then you have a just cause to tell them to go fuck themselves.
Sure.
Brutus Beefcake.
Oh, that's a good story. But
tell me the Brutus Beefcake story. We'll end overtime on this.
Okay,
so we did this old indie show.
AAPW.
Yep, AAPW. They're not even in business no more. And me and Evan were wrestling each other, actually, on this show. We were the opener. And they just told us to go out there and work until we see the signal come. That signal would mean that Brutus Beefcake and Greg Valentine had arrived at the building. I think we wrestled like 25 minutes waiting for them to show up.
They're match two, by the way.
Yeah, they're match two because they have to like go back to the airport. So they have this match. Neither one want to put the other one over.
Beefcake and who was it?
Valentine.
And Valentine and Beefcake, and neither one of them wanted to put the other one over?
Correct. No, it was a big deal, man. We were in Collinsville.
Are we talking about behind the scenes, or are we talking about in the ring?
Behind the scenes. It was Collinsville, and that's a pretty big town. I mean, at all. Like, these guys wrestled in front of 90,000 people before, and this was a big deal. So it was a double count out. Valentine's the bad guy, so he exits, and then Beefcake's exiting out, and this little kid was like, oh, can I have your autograph? And Beefcake just like a running back, pie-faced him and said no.
Pie-faced the kid?
Yep.
How old's the kid?
Six.
Years old, he pie-faced the kid?
Yep. Mm-hmm. So they jet out of there, not trying to sell nothing. Like, they just left, and, man, we made a lot of money off merchandise that night.
I signed a lot of things.
We were like, hey, you buy something from us, like, we'll be more than happy to sign it for you, and they did. And, and we've seen positive experiences.
Did that change your opinion of Beefcake?
Not really.
I never had to begin with.
We've had other good Valentine experiences, like, on shows, so we've never met Beefcake again. But, I don't know. I mean, to me, when it's you've fallen to the point where now you're on the same show I am, and rather if I'm a piece of crap or not at that time, we're still on the same show, and you can't take the time to sign for a six-year-old kid. You're being paid to be there. The promoter paid them guys. Not like they were there.
Right, six-year-old kid. Like,
sign something.
Worst case scenario, this kid might actually remember.
Right.
Like
at a time period when you're not really gaining tons of fans.
Right,
anymore.
Right.
Right. Like, you've gotten all the fans you're going to get.
Right.
And, like, the funny story is, like, they arrived super late, right? We went 25 minutes.
Right, sure.
Right.
And they were already in town. They were at a hotel, like, 5 minutes away. They had just done Gathering of the Juggalos the night before.
Yeah.
So why were they so late?
We still don't know.
Yeah, no one knows to this day. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on The Q. I want to thank Pierre Abernathy, Evangelistico, for jumping in here on Overtime. And you guys can always check out old episodes, new episodes, and everything about the show at theqnow.com. That's going to do it for us. We will see you next time on the show.